This is All Things Considered on VPR. I'm Henry Epp. The U.S.-Canada border has been closed to all non-essential traffic since March, and Reuters reports the two federal governments will likely extend the closure till the end of July. So what does a closed border actually look like? Along one rural stretch of the international line in Alberg, Vermont, not much. I'm staring north right now at empty cornfields, which is Canada. The border is, of course, closed right now to all non-essential travel, but, you know, the U.S.-Canada border is very open, and so there would be nothing really stopping me right now from walking across the road and being inside Canada, other than the threat of, you know, border patrol from either country coming and telling me to stop. But it's just a reminder of how open this border really is, even in a time when it's technically closed to all travel. I'm in Alberg to talk to Roger Rainville, whose farm, aptly named Border View Research Farm, sits right across the road from Canada. I'm here to talk about his life on the border and his farm. He's been here for over three decades. These days, his farm is home to a University of Vermont extension program that tries out different kinds of crops. Right now, they've got canola, winter greens.
I mean, there's corn, there's sweet corn, there's cow corn, there's hops. Those are coming heavy. We've got onions, potatoes.
Rainville used to be a dairy farmer. I ask him if he's glad that he got out of that business, given the dairy industry's recent struggles.
I'm not glad. There's a farmer friend of mine that's older than I am that just sold his cows, and everybody said, oh, it's so sad that he sold his cows. And I said, no, it isn't sad. I said, what's sad is that farmers feel they need to continue to carry on that tradition of farming. And even though they're hurting and they're in pain, and every day they get up, they feel they have to continue doing it. And that's not the farmer's fault. That's just in our blood. So it's sad. I'm so happy that the farmers decided, okay, that's it. We're going to just hang it up. Well, you know, if it was because of the price of milk, we'd have got out of farming 100 years ago. I read an article in an old newspaper, 19 whatever, anyways. And this article I read was farmers are going to have to cut back production, and because they're going to lose 50 cents a hundred. I mean, that's a lot, 50 cents a hundred. That was in 1929. So this is nothing new. I mean, unfortunately, this is what dairy farmers have dealt with for a long, long time. This is worse because it's lasting such a long period of time. And the sad part is that farmers are being told to dump milk. I mean, you've heard that, everybody's heard it, and it just sickens me to death. I'm a dairy farmer, I'll die a dairy farmer, and it just really, it just bothers me so much when I see what's going on. But
you still, I mean, you say you call yourself a dairy farmer, but you haven't...
I haven't milked cows in 16 years. Yeah. I'm a dairy farmer. I'm a semi-retired dairy farmer. I do research for a hobby. Well, it helps keep the farm alive, too.
Pays the bills.
Yeah.
We head into Rainville's barn to talk about the border and how this area feels different since it closed. The main difference, Rainville says, far less traffic on the dirt road outside his house and around the customs station just down the road.
All we see is Border Patrol. That's it. I mean, it's kind of odd when we'd pull out of here, you stop, make sure there's nobody coming in from Canada, and on weekends, you wonder if you should come up there or come in that way because the line is a half a mile long. We don't even have to look at the stop sign anymore. We just go because there's nobody coming through. So it's kind of an eerie feeling that all of a sudden it's a dead zone. It's not just a border. It's a dead zone. It's just like there's nothing going on. And I was joking with one of the border gals there. We were splitting wood, and I said, well, you look kind of bored. You ought to come help split wood. And she says, eh, I'd love to, but I guess I'll just sit here and count squirrels. So, you know, they have to watch the border because it's closed. So that's the biggest difference. If I don't look out there, I don't really notice it.
Do you notice, in terms of your day-to-day life, I mean, to go get food or anything, did you often go over to Quebec?
My wife used to go there all the time for groceries.
Yeah.
Now she doesn't.
Yeah.
I mean, that's changed. We did a lot of commerce with across the border, and I kind of, one thing I miss is that the neighbors, that, you know, the farmers over there, they'd come up the road because they'd crop down here and they'd stop and we'd shoot the breeze and stuff. Well, they don't do that anymore because they're not allowed to cross the border. It's not something we dwell on. It's not a big deal, but Yeah, it's, you know, going across the border. We never looked at it as a border. It was just another place to go.
I've heard a lot that, you know, the feeling around the border changed after 9/11. Was that the case for you? Did it feel different before 9/11 and after 9/11?
It really didn't. This is worse mentally than 9/11, because at 9/11, there were military at the borders with AK-47s, and that was scary when you drove out. They weren't here in front of the house, but so it was more of a physical awareness, and now it's a mental awareness. It's probably worse than mentally, I think worse than 9/11, because 9/11 was here, then it was done, and this just keeps, you know, going on. Is it going to be done tomorrow? Is it going to be done next week? Is it going to be, you know?
Since you've lived here right on the border for so long, do you consider yourself an American or a Canadian, or do you
all
care?
All depends whose politics you're talking to. I'm on a board of directors of a co-op in Canada.
You are?
And, yes. And it has to do with our milkweed production. So I've spent a lot of time over there. And then, unfortunately, when politics change, you know, people get a little, and then the first thing I'd say, no, I live in Canada, I don't live in the United States. But I don't look at either one. You know, I got friends over there as much as I do over here, and I don't look at it from a political point of view or a country. It's not a barrier, so I don't look at it as one or the other. I mean, I'm an American citizen, that's it. I'm not a Canadian citizen, but when I go over there, I just as comfortable as I am going over here, you know, and I speak French fairly fluent, so I got a lot of relatives that live in Canada.
When, assuming the border reopens, what do you think will be different for you?
You know, I think there's concern about what kind of rush is going to come across. I mean, we're not in a hurry to go over there, and a lot of people are in a hurry, you know, for us to go, and then vice versa. When the border's open, we get a lot more traffic that stop in to ask directions, because people will come in from Canada, not just by the customs, but by other entrances. But then they get up here and they go, oh, geez, you know, we're lost. So we get a lot of people stop in. That's the part that, you know, I'm thinking about putting a bigger sign that say stop, and hopefully they understand that it's nothing personal. It's just that I got a lot of people to be worried about too here. It's not just me.
Well, Roger Rainville, thanks so much.
You're very welcome.
That's Roger Rainville, owner of Borderview Research Farm in Aalborg, Vermont. You're listening to All Things Considered on VPR. I'm Henry Epp.